Remember when the building was brand spanking new, there was a 4-foot wall that extended almost from one end of the auditorium front to the other. And Alan Brown was the preacher. He said, "I feel like I'm completely away. That's the way I feel if I can't move this toward y'all." So I know you can hear me, but I want to be closer to you. I'm really struggling tonight following the announcement about Buster that really has captured my heart and my thoughts, and certainly we want to pray for Buster and for Holly and for Walter and Velmer and for ourselves. We all love Buster too, so we want to pray for ourselves as well. We had a very profitable men's business meeting today. We covered a lot of things that I think are going to be very, very good for the congregation. One is, and I hope this is not offensive to anyone, but we had a visitor here this morning who said he cannot visit here because these fragrance lamps are burning his eyes. Well, come to find out in our discussion, they're burning some other eyes of our congregation. I wish we had already, wish we knew that. So, Charles, if we'll stop using those fragrance lamps, feel free to put them in my office. That's probably the stinkiest place in the building anyway, so put them in there. But we'll stop using them. Hopefully now this visitor will join us again. Also, we're going to be purchasing again this year Bibles for our graduating seniors. The most unusual thing about this year's group of graduating seniors is we really don't know many of them very well. But the men decided, and I certainly think it was a wise decision, we're going to be giving Bibles even to the graduating seniors of our congregation that don't attend very much. This will be an asset to them. Perhaps even they'll think about it when they're off at college or something and think, you know, Port Lavaca Church wanted to give me a Bible. I think I'll go to church and carry my Bible with me. So we'll be giving those. We'll print those. We need to check some spellings, but we'll make that access to you. And then I'm going to work with Lori Becker. Allie is a senior. I'm going to see when if she'll get with these other parents and see the best time. I'm sure it'll be at one of our first Sunday fellowships. So we'll be doing that in the future as well. Also, we made a decision on the sign out front, and here again, maybe it's because I agreed with the decision, we're getting what I think is by far the best. By far not the most expensive, but I think the best. It's going to be very similar, just an upgrade to what we had already. And I don't mind changing those signs even most of the time. But if some of you would like to help when we get that sign set up, it's going to be with the stick and the letters, but that's the kind of sign I wanted anyway. But that will be coming up. I have no earthly idea when it'll be installed, but we're getting that new sign as well. And then we announced, actually a few months ago now, that we were looking again at the installation of elders. We stated at that time that we would keep you abreast of what's going on. Well, actually, nothing went on for a short period of time, but I'm happy to announce that within the next 2 weeks, a formulation of a process that we will consider using here. The men's business team is going to tweak it a little bit, but we'll be letting you know the process that we will be using. Certainly, the congregation will have opportunity to voice their scriptural objections, as we always do, and hopefully some other things will give us an opportunity to really consider the men who want to be elders. So hopefully now the process is going to move on along. It's not a process that we're going to just do overnight, so don't expect it to be real, real soon. But within a couple of weeks, we'll have that process discussed, and we'll at least be able to make that available. Did I forget to mention anything from the men's meeting that needs to be mentioned? Did I cover everything? We are. We're going to progress as rapidly as we can. But this is not something we can just do tonight. We can't do it tonight. So we'll need to get that process in place. I certainly am not questioning God at all, but I wish he told us even more about the process that he wants us to use. But we're gonna make a decision and do the very best that we can. It'll certainly be scriptural, doctrinal, ethical, logical, and we will see if we can proceed with that. Once upon a time, there was a woman who was a recent convert that decided she wanted to buy herself a new Bible. So she went to the local Bible bookstore and she told the young man behind the counter, "I would like to buy a new Bible." He said, "Well, you certainly came to the right place. We have all kinds of Bibles. Do you know what kind of exterior you want? Do you want leather or something less? Tell me the size. Tell me the translation or the version, thumb index, the gold on the outside, and all of those things that you need to consider when buying a Bible." She said, "Well, all of that sounds good, but I'm most interested in finding a Bible where the words that Jesus spoke are in red." He said, "Okay, a red letter edition." So he went over and he selected several Bibles, several options from the behind the counter, set them there. First one he showed her was, of course, the most expensive one. Beautiful leather, thumb index, gold borders, King James Version, if you want to know. It was a King James Version. And what he did was, he said, "Are you real familiar with the Bible?" She said, "No, not real familiar." So what he did was, he took the Bible and came up to the gospel and he said, "Now this is the Old Testament. This is the writings of prior to the gospel account." And he was thumbing through and she was very interested. And then he turned back to the book of Acts and he went in reverse. He said, "Now this is Acts and the letters to the various congregations and people and the book of Revelation." And then he said, "Now this section right here, this is called the gospel." He said, "Now this is where the letters that Jesus spoke are in red." And he thumbed through those several pages and she said, "You know, Jesus really didn't have much to say, did he?" Well, actually comparing the red letters in the Bible to the rest of the Bible, no, he didn't have a lot to say, but what he said was the most important of anything. Now, the text for our lesson tonight comes once again from the Sermon on the Mount. I think it's very obvious. You can figure out very easily where my personal studies are coming from. We just moved out of the book of Philippians. I did. Now I'm in the first part of Matthew. So that's where the bulk of my sermons are going to be coming from. Jesus has just given the Beatitudes. He's given the disciples not only the compliment, but also the challenge to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And he gets down and he's talking about the law. We're down in verse 17, Matthew 5, 17 and following. Now, the law of which Jesus speaks is the law of Moses. We need to remember the book of Acts begins really the New Testament. Don't misread that. Certainly the gospel account, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, are contained in the New Testament. But really the new covenant begins in the book of Acts and carries on then through the rest. Jesus lived his entire life under the Judaic system, the system of Judaism. So when Jesus here is talking about the law, he's talking about the law of Moses, or let's call it the Old Testament, or whatever we want to call it. We know we're in agreement. Let me begin reading with verse 17. I want to make a few comments as we go. Jesus says, "Do not think that I came to destroy the law." That would be the law of Moses, and he includes the prophets in that. "Do not think that I came to destroy the Old Testament. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, until heaven and earth shall pass away, not one jot or one tittle shall pass from the law until all is fulfilled." The best way to think of this jot and tittle is, have you ever heard anyone say on a legal document, "Make sure you got every I dotted and every T crossed"? That's really what he's talking about. Even those things, none of it is going to be passed away. None of it's going to pass away until it be fulfilled. Now, this next part I need to introduce a little bit more. You remember when we're studying Matthew chapter 22. And the lawyer comes to Jesus saying, "Master, what is the great commandment of the law?" And we always discuss the fact that the rabbis of that day, the way they got their disciples was each one of them would come up with a list, the most important law of Moses and down all the way to the least important. That's not saying their lists were right, because all of the law was important, but that's the way they gathered their disciples, the greatest commandment all the way down to the least. So really, that's what Jesus is talking about. He says, whoever therefore shall break one of those least important ones. He's not saying any of them are unimportant, but on a rabbi's list, anyone who breaks one of the least of these, and if he teaches others also to break them, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do the least and the greatest, and teach the least and the greatest, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. And then to hammer home his point, Jesus said, I tell you, unless your righteousness, your desire and ability to be right, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, they were the ones that were considered the most righteous of that day. Unless your righteousness, your desire to please God and be right, unless it exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, it seems like all of my lessons here lately begin with a question. This one does too. How do you think Jesus felt about the law and the prophets? How do you think he felt about what we today would call the Old Testament? How did he feel? How did he consider God's word? Well, without any doubt, he considered the old law, the law, the teaching of the prophets, the teaching of Moses, to be God's word. Remember, we alluded to the temptation scenario in Matthew chapter 4 this morning. The devil tempted Jesus. Jesus had been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. He comes to Jesus and uses, first of all, what I believe is a very logical temptation. Jesus, you're hungry. You've been out here for 40 days with nothing to eat. Just turn those stones into bread, get yourself a little strength, and then we'll have this debate, this discourse. I think that was a perfect way to begin the temptation. And did Jesus say, yeah, you're right. I think I'm going to go ahead and turn these stones into bread so that I can nourish myself, and then we'll get on with this. No, he said, it is written. Written where? Written in the Old Testament. It's scripture. It's God's word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. In fact, the other two temptations also, Jesus always quoted scripture. It is written, written in God's word. It is scripture. So Jesus believed so much that the Bible was God's word, he even was willing to acknowledge that he came to fulfill everything in God's word. That's the entire Old Testament. All of the teaching back to Genesis 1:1, all of the teachings that God gave to Moses, all of the teachings that he gave to Jeremiah and Elijah and Elisha and all of the prophets, he came to fulfill all of that. And he said, don't think that I came to destroy the law, because I didn't. I came rather to fulfill the law. And of course, we know he fulfilled the law upon the cross. So since Jesus is our Lord, our Master, our Savior, our Teacher, then if he felt that way about God's word, then certainly we need to feel that way as well. Because all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, for instruction in righteousness, that you and I, as God's children, can be completely or thoroughly or throughly or perfectly equipped unto every good work. 2 Timothy 3:16. Jesus told his disciples, search the scripture. What scripture was he talking about? The Old Testament. For in it you find everlasting life. John 5 verse 39. The Old Testament is just pointing to the time that Jesus comes and becomes the anointed one. And the Bereans did that. They searched the scripture daily to prove those things were so. Acts 17, verse 11. Now, all of us are in complete agreement with what I've said so far. But if I presented this information on a more public forum, there would be an awful lot of people that disagree. they would say, well, maybe the Bible is a very good book. And maybe the Bible has some wonderful precepts. But since it's just a book, it's certainly not binding upon us. It's just some wonderful stories and fables and myths and fairy tales. And I love it just as much as I love Aesop's fables. They lump all of that together. Well, brethren, the Bible certainly is worthwhile. But the Bible is certainly binding as well. And that's the attitude that you and I as Christians have. Second, Jesus studied the Bible to the extent that he knew what the Bible said. You know, it's one thing to read the Bible. A lot of people read the Bible. It's another thing, though, to read the Bible with the intent of knowing exactly what it says. I can't remember the name of the lady. Somebody will tell me after church. But there was a method of speed reading when I was in high school. And some of us took that class. And what we would do, we would put our finger here and we would just go about this fast and we'd scan through that page. And at the end of the chapter, whatever it was, we were to retain 80 or 90% of it. I don't know what it was. That's the way some people read novels. They just read it for enjoyment. Well, we can enjoy the Bible when we read it. The greatest stories of all time are written in the Bible. But we read the Bible for more than just enjoyment. More than just scanning the page so we can tell the teacher, I finished. What was my time and finish in this speed reading class? We read it to know what it says. From his youth, Jesus went about his father's business, Luke 4, verse 4. In fact, he was so knowledgeable of the scripture that the Bible says those around him were amazed at his teaching, Matthew 12, verse 23. Even his enemies admitted, never a man spake like this man. And they were not talking about his wording. They were talking about the way he used the Bible. John 7, verse 46. Jesus was a student of the word, and we must be a student as well. Let me tell you another story. Once upon a time, there was a young man that was about to go off to college. He decided that for his major, it would be best for him to go to a public school, a state-supported school. Well, he was a very, very faithful Christian, and of course his mom, who was also a faithful Christian, set him down and warned him about going to a state school. He said, Mom, don't worry, my faith is solid. His father, who was a very casual Christian, to say the least, also on the day he was about to leave, pulled him aside and said, Son, it's no telling what those professors are going to try to do. Tell you what to believe, tell you what to disbelieve. He said, for instance, in the Bible, don't let them convince you that Jonah and the whale didn't actually happen. Well, the son just kind of chuckled and went on. Though he visited from time to time over the next however many years, that subject never came up again. Finally, after his graduation, he was back home and his dad said, I told you that they would try to leave, for instance, Jonah and the whale out of the Bible. Did they do that? And the boy started laughing. He said, Dad, the story of Jonah and the whale is not even in your Bible. Oh, yes, it is. You know how fathers and sons sometimes go back and forth. Oh, no, it's not. Oh, yes, it is. Oh, no, it's not. Oh, yes, it is. Finally, his father said, I'll prove it to you. So he thought for a few minutes. He said, now the last time I saw that Bible, I think it was on the top shelf of my closet. Let me go, I'll be right back. Well, 10 minutes later, he found that Bible, came back and started thumbing through it. Couldn't find the book of Jonah. Couldn't find the book of Jonah. And finally, he looked in the index. There it was on page such and such. He turned to that page and someone had very carefully cut those chapters out of the Bible. The book of Jonah was not in the Bible. And his son said, Dad, let me tell you something. They couldn't take the book of Jonah out of my heart, but you don't even know where it is in the Bible because you have neglected it. You know, neglecting it and not having it in there It's one and the same. Instead, we must study. You remember Ezra? Ezra was a scribe and a priest. And Ezra says in his own book, he devoted himself to the study and observance of the law of the Lord. Ezra 7, verse 10. Paul said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, 2 Timothy 2:15, and what I believe is one of the more beautiful passages from the pen of the psalmist, Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight, that which makes him happy, serving the Lord, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law will he meditate day and night. So not only did Jesus know the Bible, he lived the Bible. I noticed in Troy's prayer tonight, he acknowledged the truth. We are the Bible, the only Bible that some people will ever read. We need to be consistent as well. And that's why Jesus said in our text, if we even break or ignore the least of commandments, and he's not saying any of them are least, we will be the least in the kingdom. But let's never forget, Jesus' intent was not only to know the Bible, but to do God's word. A bit out of context, but Jesus said, not my will, but thine be done. It was Jesus that said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Jesus often spoke of doing the will of the Father. Matthew 12, verse 50, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother, my sister, and my mother. So a Christian's life is to know and to do God's will. Jesus believed the Bible, as do we. He studied the Bible, as must we. And he obeyed the Bible. And because of that, he became the master teacher. And we also need to be teaching the scriptures to those around us. We need to allow God's word to radiate in us, to inspire others, and to motivate us to be better Christians and better students of the book. And may these words encourage us all. Perhaps tonight there is one or more who needs to respond. We'll see if Charles, can you look out there and make sure? Here comes Barry right now. Barry has announced the invitation song when he gets up here. If anyone needs to respond,